Oh Lord, our God, just now we heard of the complaint of the right of evils, that his wiggers were dull of hearing. They found it hard to understand what he was teaching them. Oh God, we are no better than the first wiggers of evils. But Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit may help us, that first of all we may concentrate in your word, and that you may give us interest and understanding as we consider Christ, our great high priest, how he offered himself to become our Savior. Oh, help us to stay focused on Christ. Give us faith in Jesus, so that we may know that freedom, that liberty of being set free from the bondage to the fear of death. Oh, that fear of death which held us in captivity all the lifetime, may we know how through faith in Jesus we can be set free, and that we may rejoice in our Savior, that we may be singing our hallelujahs and our hosannas in the rest of our lives. So Lord, help us, speak to us, give unction and power to the preaching of your word. For Jesus' sake, Amen. Now let us turn back to Hebrews chapter 5, and let me read to you verses 5 to 10 again. Even though our text is strictly speaking verse 9. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek," who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Our text this morning is in verse 9. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. My dear friends, we as human beings have a natural tendency to avoid suffering. We don't like pains, we don't like to be hurt, whether it's physical pain or emotional isolation or depression. We don't like that. We don't want to go through that. Except if we should see there's a good reason for that, we may be willing to go through that. Take the example of men who were trained to be special forces to fight against terrorists, to rescue hostages. Some of us are old enough to remember the Middle East oil crisis, how terrorists would hijack planes or put people under hostage. And as we watch those news, some of you may remember in the television screen, special forces will be sent, they will be masked, and bravely, risking their lives, they will try to release the hostage. And just imagine the sort of training those special forces went through. For days and weeks and months and for years, they were very strong men. They underwent the most vigorous physical training, how to use weapon, how to jump, how to climb, how to shoot, and how to risk their life in order to save the hostages, because in every rescue effort, there was risk to their own lives. And some of them were killed in their operation. But in other operations, they were successful and they were able to release the hostages. Brave men who went through tremendous training with their life to save others. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. In all eternity, He was in glory and honor and majesty and comfort in heaven. But He was sent down by His Father to become flesh in order to save sinners. Not the good and righteous people, but sinners like you and me. To do that, He became flesh. He took upon Himself a human nature, a human body, and then eventually He suffered the agonies, the pains, and the death of the cross. Unless Christ should go through those sufferings, He would not be able to save sinners. And the suffering of Christ was real suffering. It was real in His flesh, in His body. Islam teaches their people, Jesus did not suffer real suffering. It was fake. Another person took His place. Jesus did not go through those suffering. But the gospel teaches us otherwise. Our text tells us, having been perfected, Christ became the author of eternal salvation to all to obey Him. Think on the suffering of Christ. This morning in our Bible reading, we began with that description of Christ's agony in the garden. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Look at it. Who, that is Christ, in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His godly fear. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. That is reflecting on our Lord Jesus' agonizing prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember the event? Our Lord Jesus took the disciples to the garden for prayer. And then He took Peter, James, and John, went further into the garden, and asked the three men to watch with Him. And He fell face down to pray His Father. When was the last time you prayed like that? That you prostrated yourself before God? You fell face down, your face touching the ground, before God? I trust usually we pray by kneeling before God on our bedside. And we bow our body before God. I hope that is the posture of your prayer, the posture of your prayer. But Jesus did far more than that. He wasn't kneeling down on a piece of rock. He fell face down to the ground as an obedient slave to his father. And he cried to God, "Father, take this cup away from me. But not my will, but your will be done." And we are told that the Lord Jesus was sweating blood. He was in such agony and sorrow that he could die like that. When was the last time you suffered a depression? When you saw everything was gray instead of bright blue sky? You felt isolation, you felt you were deserted, forsaken, no one cares for you. Jesus, our Lord, was contemplating the suffering on the cross. Not just the suffering in terms of his body, but in his spirit. He was to be forsaken by his Father. In fact, he was to be cursed by God. He was to enter the ultimate black hole in the spiritual universe. And he didn't like that at all. He cried to God, "If you are willing, take that cup away from me." And here we are told in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, Christ offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears. Jesus was crying and weeping and begging his Father, "If it's possible, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but yours be." It's very interesting here that in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, we are told that our Lord Jesus cried to God, who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his godly fear. What else did Jesus pray? You know, in scripture we often just have a summary of what happened, but not all the details. And here Hebrews tells us some more details. Our Lord Jesus will cry to God, "Save me, Father. If that is your will for me to die on the cross, rescue me from that death of eternity. Yes, I have to bear the curse for those hours on the cross, but rescue me from the bondage of death. Don't let me be locked down in Sheol. Release me. Enable me to conquer death." And he tells us that his prayer to his Father was heard. You know, the only curse our Lord Jesus suffered on the cross was just on the cross. As expired in terms of his physical life, his soul entered the paradise. His body was buried in the tomb, resting there. And even his body was not held by death. You know, by the third day, Jesus' body would decompose. But no, his body in the grave did not decompose. He was preserved by the Father miraculously. And the Father heard the Lord Jesus' prayer to save him from death. And Jesus, our Lord, was not bound to death. Oh, friends, the book of Hebrews tells us we, through the fear of death, were all in a lifetime under bondage. How are we going to feel when we are facing death? I don't know, maybe we will be unconscious. Maybe it will be too weak and too painful. The wish for release. But friends, when you and I die, the one concern would be, am I going to be bound by death? Do I just expire and be no more? Would I be held in the grave in Sheol, in hell forever? Am I to be bound there? And the Lord Jesus cried his Father, let me not be bound by death. No. Make me victorious. And we are told that Jesus' prayer was heard. We know that, isn't it? We know Easter morning how Jesus arose from his death. He conquered death and not just live again, but was raised with a glorious resurrection body. He was heard. But there's a little detail there. Because of his godly fear. When we pray, my dear friends, when we come to worship, do we come in godly fear? Are we conscious this morning when we come to church that we come and appear before the living God? We're doing business with God. We're not just meeting with friends. We're not just having an hour of happy time here. We come before God. Oh, that should be our attitude in worship. That should be our attitude in prayer. When our Lord Jesus was praying in the garden of Gethsemane, he was driven by godly fear. He, in his manhood, he knew that his life was in the hand of God the Father. He was at the pleasure of the Father in his human flesh. It was of God's good pleasure that he should be raised. That's God's promise. But his whole life is in the hand of God. And he feared God. If anyone feared God, it was Jesus. He was never fickleless in his prayer, in his worship, in his reading of scripture, or listening to the preaching of God's word. He was heard because of his godly fear. And then we are told in verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Oh, think of the person of Christ. He was, he ever will be, the only begotten Son of God. But he came in human flesh, in his flesh, he learned obedience. He learned how to obey God in the garden, to the cross. This is my Father's will, that I should lay down my life for the sheep, that I should die for my people. And they are sinners, and I have to take the burden of their sins upon my shoulders. I have to obey God to the cross, to crucifixion. To subject myself to death itself, to abuse, to insult. I have to obey. Obey in every single detail. Obey in every single second. Remember, just now we mentioned, when Jesus was hung on the cross, he was mocked and insulted and humiliated. And at any moment, he got the power to jump down from the cross and to punish his enemies. And he was swaying the use of his legitimate power in doing so. because every moment he was obeying his Father, I must obey my Father, I must not jump down from the cross, I must not take revenge on my enemies, because here I am doing my Father's will. Right there on the cross, my dear friend, can you think of the physical pains and suffering of Jesus? It's not just the physical pains and suffering, but the mental anguish, the spiritual desertion. His disciple forsook him. His loved one could not save him. And there he was bearing the wrath of God. He was utterly dark. Totally dark. The dark night in his soul. When was the last time you couldn't see your five fingers? Some of us have gone to Ginola Caves, and we were told inside the cave, all lights turn off, we can't see our five fingers. That was fun, right? For a second. For 5 seconds. But imagine, not just the physical darkness, but the spiritual darkness. Not a single sense of the love of God. But the active wrath of God. The eternity of hell was compressed into 6 hours. He obeyed. It was Jesus' conviction and assurance. For example, in John 10, verse 17. Therefore, my Father loved me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. The Lord Jesus laid down his life in obedience to God. Coming back to our text, Hebrews 5, verse 9. Let us try to dig deeper and ask every possible question. Having been perfected, what does that mean? Jesus, having been made perfected, Jesus became perfect. What does it mean? It cannot mean that our Lord Jesus was imperfect in his character and has any blemish in his life. No, it cannot mean that. The perfection here is not any sort of moral perfection, but qualification for office. I just now mentioned the training of an anti-terrorism special force. Maybe that is too much for us to contemplate. But some of us here, almost all of us, the majority of us, think back. Some years ago, you were studying for some qualification. You were in college, perhaps. You were studying a course to be trained to be maybe a caretaker or whatever, a nurse, a pharmacist, a doctor. You were studying for some qualification, whether it was a big qualification like becoming a doctor or a small qualification, got a certificate to do something, and you were studying hard for that. And some of us know that, isn't it? You spend 6 months, 12 months, a year, many years, and then finally you got the qualification and you can go to do what your heart's desire wants to do. But think back to our first example of being trained for a special terrorism special force. You went through that training, alright? You got your badge, you got a certificate, you got your uniform. But then, one day, you were called to duty. Some terrorists have taken hostage a dozen people. And you are to go immediately to take down the terrorists. Get all your gears, be ready, and this may be the last day of your life. Recently I came to know a man. He's a brave man. He is in one of our Marine force, special force. And usually I couldn't contact him because every time we went out, he'll be out for a month. And on a boat to protect Australia against drug trafficking, sex trafficking, things like that. And he said, when they were launched in duty, it got about a few minutes to settle their account with God. He was a believer, he's a believer. And he said he'll bow down and pray for his life and for his team. Because every time he went out for such a duty, every time they should go and handle another boat or these criminals, they knew they would be killed. It's real. Imagine that man. Imagine such a man. You call, and now the enemy is here. This is the moment. They launch out. And Jesus, our Lord, was qualified. He was perfected in this sense. They was willing to submit to his father. He actually suffered. He suffered to the end. That's the meaning of his being made perfect. Remember, among the seven sayings of our Lord Jesus toward the end, our Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." In Greek, one word. Done. Same word here. Perfected. Some of you know that word. Telos. T-E-L-O-S. Purpose. Done. In the verb, in the form of verb. Done. Done. Our Lord Jesus was perfected in the sense he consecrated himself to this task of saving sinners. He made himself willing to endure the curse of God on the cross and the eternal punishment on the cross. He became completely qualified. Though he was the Son of God, he learned obedience through his sufferings. Dear friends, suppose any moment our Lord should say, "That is too much. I can't bear this anymore." Suppose in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus said, "No, Father, physical pains, yes. Mental anguish, yes. Being mocked, yes. But I don't want to be cursed by you. You know, friends, when our Lord Jesus in the garden cried to God, "Take this cup away from me," he said so because of the perfection of his humanity. Because he was a perfect man of God, he has long enjoyed the closest communion with God, to be forsaken by God was to him the ultimate pain and suffering. Dear friends, the more godly you are, the more believing you are, the closer you live with God, the more horrible would be living a week, a month, a year without the worship of God, the fellowship of God's people, without the Bible, without prayer, without Christian book, without preaching. That would be to you a horror. Test yourself. How would you feel if you'd be placed in a place that you would have no Bible, no Bible, no church, no worship, no Christian fellowship, no Christian books, but you'll be surrounded by all kinds of worldly entertainments? Oh yes, food, dancing, movies, all that sort of things, but no Bible, no preaching, no worship, no prayer, because it was so noisy that you couldn't pray. How would you feel? If you were well-known at heart, you would say, "Well, that's okay. That's okay." And the more godly you are, the greater is that heart. And our Lord Jesus endured that horror to be forsaken by God. He obeyed the Father unto death, even the death on the cross. He persevered to the end. He endured the cross. He despised the shame because of his obedience. And having so consecrated himself, endured to the end, that is the sense of him being perfected. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He did it. He persevered to the end. He suffered all the curse of God, and in so doing, he's qualified to be our Savior. But before we finish, we must look at the second half of our text. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the source, the author of eternal salvation. But notice here, the qualification to all who obey him. Christ our Lord is the author of eternal salvation, is the captain of our salvation, but not every single human being will be saved. You realize? Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Not every single human being will be saved because not every single human being is obedient to Christ. Our good friends, our dear relatives, our work colleagues who see themselves as very good people, but they have nothing to do with the cross of Christ, there will be nowhere near a place of worship. Easter to them is only a holiday. They will not be saved. They will be condemned. We love them. They are dear to us as husband and wife, or children, or parents, or friends, or relatives. But they don't obey Christ. They will be damned. They will not be saved. No. No. And you too, friends, unless you are among those who obey Christ, you will not be saved. The text is so clear, isn't it? Christ has qualified himself. He is our great high priest. He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Christ. To all who obey Christ, they will be saved. Now, the obedience he is not teaching us salvation by works or justification by works. To obey Christ means, first of all, we believe in Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior, that we entrust our all to him. To obey Christ means we have faith in Christ as our great high priest. What does faith mean? You know, when we talk with people, usually people say, well, I have faith. I remember talking to a man who was a boss of a restaurant. And he said, well, I have faith. I said, faith in whom? He said, faith in myself. He said, every day I go to work, I have to make sure I look over the till. In those days, we're all cash, right? I couldn't trust anyone to look after my cashier. I don't trust any of my workers to touch my money. But I have faith in myself. I'm going to look after me, number one. Is that faith that will save me? No. I met another man. He was from the former Eastern European countries, one of them. And he said, I don't believe anyone. It was very cynical. I don't believe anyone except my wife. I was going to say, what a fool you are. Well, it's wonderful they can say believe in his wife, totally. But you realize your wife cannot save you. Yes, it's good that you have confidence in your wife, that he will look after you, will favor you. That's good. But no wife, no husband can save your soul. None. Faith here is faith in Jesus as the very Son of God in human flesh. His faith in Christ as our great high priest, who had offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for sin. His faith in Christ as our Savior, as our Lord. And dear friends, if we have true faith in Christ, we are going to obey him conscientiously. If we have true faith in Christ, we are going to obey Christ in all his word and teachings and commandments, not truth and pity. Not sitting to judge over God's word. You know, there are people who say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. Oh, but I don't believe this or that part of the teaching the Bible. If anyone is saying that, if anyone of you is saying that, that means you don't believe in Jesus. If I believe in Jesus as the very Son of God, I'm going to believe every word he says. I can't say to Jesus, well, I love you to be my Savior, but I don't want you to be my Lord. Obedience is the evidence of faith, a positive one. What does our text say? Having been made perfect, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's the good news. Every single one who believes in Christ, all who believe in Christ, doesn't matter their past, doesn't matter what they have done before. Now you truly believe in Christ, you truly obey him, or you got no education, no problem. You got a lot of money, no hindrance. No money, no hindrance. To all who obey Christ, they shall be saved to all eternity. What a promise. As we believe and obey Christ, we shall be saved to all eternity. Nothing can sever us from the love of Christ. Nothing can take us away from the Lord Jesus. Saved to all eternity. One last word. Make sure you do come to Jesus. Such a Savior. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, help us to be quiet and be still before you, and that we may take Jesus as our Lord and our God and our Savior. Oh, in this Easter season, may our focus be on Jesus and him crucified and risen. In his name we pray.